The recording has started.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord on tonight. God bless you. God bless you as we enter into the Sabbath of the Lord beginning at 6 o'clock this afternoon. We're grateful. We're grateful, people of God. We're grateful as we enter into this Sabbath hour, this Sabbath day. Amen. And we're so grateful because it is a time of reflection. It is a time, glory to God, that we look, we thank, we appreciate the Lord for all that he has done. It's that time when we just slow it down and just give God thanks and reverence him. Amen. And reverence him on this day. We're so grateful to the Lord. We're so grateful to him for it is another day that the Lord has kept us, and we're so grateful for his keeping power. We're so grateful, people of God. As always, had it not been the Lord on our side, we don't know where we would be. Amen, Jesus. We don't know where we would be. We don't know, amen, Jesus, what we would be doing, but we're just so certainly grateful to him, amen, that he has kept us another day, another hour. He has kept our minds. Amen. Glory to God, as the scripture declares, he has kept our minds stayed on him. Amen. Glory to God. It's another day that the Lord has kept me. It's another day that the Lord has kept me. Oh, yes, he's kept me. He has kept me from all evil. Thank you, Jesus. With my mind stayed on Jesus. It's another day, another day that the Lord has kept me. I'm so glad that the Lord has kept me. I'm so glad that the Lord, thank you, Jesus, he has kept me. Oh, yes, he has. He has kept me from all evil with my mind stayed on Jesus. Glory to God. It's another day. Another day. Another day that the Lord has kept me, hallelujah, kept me, Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's another day that the Lord has kept us. Amen. And we're just grateful again. Amen. I don't know about you, people of God, but when my heart, amen, my mind begin to reflect on the goodness of God, I'm telling you, it just puts me in a worship mode, because there's so many places, so many things, so many circumstances, glory to God, amen, that could have befallen me, could have befallen you, people of God, but you know what? The Lord kept us out on the dangerous highways, glory to God, the highways and the byways, glory to God, amen. We take it for granted that we go to work or we get in our cars and we drive, but people of God, let me tell you something. We cannot take that for granted, amen, because the Lord keeps us, glory to God, amen, keeps us from accidents, keeps us from dangers, seen and unseen. So we're just grateful today, amen, amen. My heart, amen, Jesus, is just thinking on the goodness of the Lord, just really thinking on the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done. And I'm happy. I'm grateful. Amen. I'm in my right state of mind. Amen. So we just give God thanks and we give God praise on today. Thank God for each of you people of God that have come to be with us on tonight, that have come out to be with us on tonight. God bless you. Amen. God bless you on tonight. God bless you. God bless you. We thank God for your coming. We thank God, amen, that you have elected to come and be with us here on the Prayer News Network Global. Amen, Jesus, where we're reaching the lost at any cost. Now broadcasting into over 80 countries. We're grateful to the Lord. We're so grateful to the Lord. Amen. Truly, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, and he's continuing to do great things. Amen. He keeps on doing great things for me. Oh, he keeps on doing great things for me. You remember that song? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. By the late great evangelist Sean Pace Rose. Amen. We thank God for her. Amen. That song just dropped, amen, in my spirit, because the Lord keeps on doing great things for us. Amen. He's our Redeemer. Amen, Jesus. Sometimes the enemy causes things to come. Amen, Jesus. The trials, they come. Amen, Jesus. Weapons may form, but they shall not prosper. Glory to God. So we bless the Lord tonight. We glorify him on tonight for all that he's doing. Amen. Truly, the Lord is doing great, great, great things. Amen. So no matter what your situation may look like right now, people of God, know that your Redeemer lives. Amen. And he will not leave you in the place that you're in. Amen. Glory be to God. He is the great I am. So we bless him. We bless him. We bless him tonight. Amen. We just want to thank God tonight as you're coming in. People of God, I want to ask you to go ahead and get your pencil, your paper, your pens, whatever you need to take your notes on tonight. Glory to God. This is our teaching night, and we're so grateful that we have a long-standing commitment. Amen. By, amen, a man of God who loves to study the word. He loves to delve into the word. Amen, Jesus. And we just thank God for him and his commitment on tonight. Amen. And while you are looking for your pen, your pencil, your paper, while you're getting in position, go ahead and text a couple of people. Invite them to come. Invite them to come on in and be with you on tonight. Invite them to come on in. Glory to God. Invite them to come on in, people of God. Tell them to come on in. Tell them that the table is spread. Amen, Jesus, and you want them to come, amen, and be with you on the night. Tell them to come. Let's magnify the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Come, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's come and magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, let's magnify the Lord on tonight. Let us magnify him on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Why are you doing that, people of God, inviting someone to come in and be a part of the broadcast on tonight? We just want to give God thanks and praise. I want to thank God for my leaders on tonight. First and foremost, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I thank God on tonight that truly he's ahead of my life. Amen, Jesus. He's leading, guiding, directing, amen, me, directing, glory to God, every step of the way. And I just give him thanks and I just give him praise on tonight. I thank him on tonight for, glory to God, our late apostle, Dr. S.B. James, thanking, glory to God, the Lord for him, thanking him on tonight for our senior apostle, glory to God, Apostle and Prophet Samuel Huggins James and Lady Ray, amen. Thanking God for her, amen. Thanking the Lord tonight, amen, Jesus, for our founding mother, Mother Carrie James and the first family. Thanking God, amen, for them on tonight, and thanking him for my pastor, amen, Jesus, and our bishop, our senior bishop on tonight, Bishop K.A. Tina, amen, Jesus, and Lady Tina. Thanking God on tonight for our PNN advisors, each and every one of them. We give God thanks. We give God praise. Amen, Jesus, for them in their place and in their space and all that they do to help keep this ministry going. We just thank the Lord. Amen. We just thank the Lord. Glory to God for our prayer warriors. Thanking them on tonight for our scripture reader. Thanking them, people of God, for you. Thanking them for you and your leaders on tonight and all of the leaders that support this outreach ministry. We just bless God. We just thank God on tonight. Glory be to God. And as always, we're expecting the Lord to do great things. Amen. We're expecting him to do great things. We're expecting him to move on tonight. Always. We're expecting. Amen. We have an expectancy. Amen. That's our faith. Glory to God that the Lord will speak to us on tonight. Glory to God. Amen. How about you? Are you expecting the Lord on tonight? Are you expecting a word from the Lord on tonight? Glory, glory, glory. Are you expecting a word from the Lord on tonight? Glory to God. Yes, we are. And so we're so grateful on tonight so that we can add to our faith. Amen. Add to our faith. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God that we can be cleansed by the word. Amen. That we can be lifted. We can be restored. We can be revived. We can be made anew. All of that and then some by the word of God. Amen. The song says, looking for my blessing in the word of God. Looking for my blessing in the word of God. Amen. So we do, again, bless the Lord. We bless the Lord today. Amen, Jesus. We want to get ready to go ahead and sanctify the line. Amen, Jesus, so that we can go ahead and get our speaker up. Amen, Jesus, so that the Lord will speak to us. Amen. Glory be to God, so that the Lord will speak to us on tonight. Amen. So we bless him again. We thank him. Glory to God. We do glorify him, people of God. Truly, 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 amen. I'm looking for my blessing in the word again on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So let us look, amen, go before the throne of grace on tonight. Glory to God. Pull your hearts and your minds in. Pull your hearts and your minds in on tonight. Pull your spirit in on tonight. Glory to God. Perhaps you've been running all day. Amen. Perhaps your plates have been full all day. Glory to God. But we just want to pull it in. We want to slow it down. Glory to God. Let's just slow it down. Amen, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The song says, welcome into this place. Oh, welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up the praise unto your name. Oh, welcome into this place. Oh, welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up the praise unto your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We bless you for you're the great I am. We bless you on tonight. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you tonight. We bless you for your grace. We bless you tonight for being so good to us. We bless you tonight for keeping us, oh God. We bless you tonight for being our shield, for being our buckler. We bless you tonight for being our, oh God, our righteousness. We bless you tonight. We bless you for being our truth. We bless you tonight. Glory be to God for being our peace. Glory to God in the midst of the storm. We bless you tonight for being our sanctifier, oh God. We bless you tonight for being our provider. We bless you tonight, glory to God, for you are Jehovah Shammah. We bless you tonight, glory. Yeah, God, we bless you tonight, for you are our healer. And we come to give you thanks, and we come to give you praise. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory on tonight. We come tonight, oh God, in humble submission. We're coming on tonight, glory be to God, asking you, Father, to look upon us. Look upon each and every one of us on tonight. Father, we're coming on tonight. You're our heal and you're our help, oh God. And we're coming looking unto you in the precious name of Jesus. Father, no other help, glory to God, do we know, but by your precious name, oh God, we come. We come in your precious name on tonight. Father, we'll come, glory to God, not because we're worthy, Father, but because you redeemed us on tonight. We come with uplifted hands. We're coming on tonight with open hearts, glory to God. We're coming on tonight, oh God, asking you, Father, that you would clean us up tonight. Father, look upon us tonight. Father, we're asking that you would forgive our every sin. We're asking you on tonight to pardon our every iniquity. We're asking you on this night, oh God, to sanctify us, sanctify our minds, oh God. Each and every one that have come to this line, each and every one that are tapping into these airways, Father, we're asking that you would touch our minds on tonight.
Father, we're asking you on tonight to cause your peace to rest upon us. Cause your peace, Father, not our peace, glory to God, but cause your peace to rest upon us on tonight, that as we assemble ourselves in this place, Father, that you, glory to God, will speak to each and every one of us, that you will speak to our hearts on tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking tonight, glory to God, that even in the minds, oh God, we bind every force on tonight that will seek to come against your word. We bind every force on tonight that will seek to interfere. We bind every force on tonight, glory to God, that will seek to trouble your people. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bind the spirit of distraction on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, on tonight, Father, you arise, oh God. Oh God, you arise and cause the enemy to scatter. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, you arise. Arise in the mind of the people. Arise in the hearts of the people on tonight. Father, we said be glorified. We said be magnified on today. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, on tonight, oh God, we're asking you, oh God, to cleanse our hands on tonight. Give us clean hands. Father, give us a pure heart on tonight that we can lift up praises before you. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, let our praise come before you pure. In the name of Jesus, Father, but we know that when the praises go up, oh God, the blessings will come down. Father, cause our praise to be pure. Cause our praise to be pleasing unto you. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we're coming on tonight, oh God. Father, in our praises on tonight, oh God, somebody's seeking a healing on tonight. Father, and we're asking that you will heal on tonight. Heal all over the land, we pray. In thy precious name, oh, glory to God. Father, for you are the God that healeth, oh God, and you change not. In thy precious name, Jesus, Father, move and heal in tonight. Heal in the bodies on tonight. Heal in the minds on tonight. Heal in the souls on tonight. In thy precious name, oh God, we're asking you to quicken in the spirit on tonight. In thy precious name, oh God. Father, we're asking you to do it tonight. Oh, glory to God. Father, meet needs on tonight in thy precious name. Oh, glory be to your name, oh, Moshe. Oh, God, move on tonight. Move in a mighty way in the precious name, oh, God. Father, move by your spirit tonight. Oh, glory to God. Father, move tonight in thy name, Jesus. Father, as only you can, Father, you do it tonight. Oh, glory to God, show yourself strong and show yourself mighty in every situation, in every region on the night. Show yourself strong. God, you're yet able to deliver. You are our deliverer. Oh, glory to God, you're our battle axe in the time of storm. Father, we're asking you tonight. We're asking you to move for your people in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, cut away on tonight every stronghold of the enemy. Father, send forth your anointing to break every chain, every feather on tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, glory to God, do it as only you can. Oh, glory to God. Father, let us not leave. Let us not leave this line the same. Father, but we're asking you to do it tonight. Do it for our children tonight. Do it for our families tonight. Do it for our communities on tonight. Send forth your anointing. Oh, glory be to God. Father, and deliver. Oh, God, deliver by our mighty hand. Father, deliver tonight. Oh, glory to God. Father, deliver tonight. Oh, Shaddai Messiah, in the name of Jesus. Father, break the holds on tonight. Break the holds of oppression. Break the holds of depression tonight. In the name of Jesus. Father, set your people free. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, break tonight hopelessness, oh, God. Hopeless, oh, God. For you're our hope on tonight. Our trust is in you. Father, we're asking you to do it tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, someone tonight, oh, God, is in trouble. Someone is in trouble, can't find their way out. Oh, God, but you are, oh, God, a very present help in the time of trouble. We're asking you to move tonight. We're asking for you to move tonight. Move by your spirit. Move by your anointing. Glory be to your God. Oh, God, do it tonight, all over the land, all over the land. Help on tonight. Help on tonight. Destroy the works of the enemy. Father, destroy every wicked work in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, lift up a standard against the enemy tonight. Lift up a standard. Oh, glory to God. Lift up a standard. Oh, God, for Messiah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, do it tonight. Father, we're asking you to save tonight. Save to the utmost on tonight. Save to the utmost on tonight. Father, it's not your will that any should perish, oh God, but that all should come to repentance. Father, we're asking you to save on tonight. Save your people tonight. Save your people tonight. Oh, the most take God, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, fill glory to God with your precious Holy Ghost. Father, do it tonight. Do a new thing. Do a new thing among us on tonight. Do a new thing in your people on tonight. Father, do it. Hey, God, do it. Oh, God, by your spirit and by your choice anointing on tonight. And Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We're thanking you for this time that you've caused us to come together. We thank you, glory to God, that we've assembled ourselves here. Father, look upon every heart. Look upon the altar of every heart. Hey. Look upon the altar of every heart, Father. We do pray in thy precious name, oh God. We're asking you to move tonight, oh God, cause our sacrifices to be pleasing. Cause our sacrifices, oh God, cause them to be pleasing unto you. Father, let us not do anything through vain strife, do strife for vain glory. Cause us all glory to God, oh God, in everything that we do, in everything that we say, oh God. We thank you tonight. We thank you for raising up your people. We thank you for strengthening your people. We thank you for strength now. We thank you. Oh, God, hiya. We thank you. Hey, Glashaba, Wobasha. Hey, God, we thank you. Hiya, hiya, hiya. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. We honor, we glorify you on tonight. We thank you for your deliverance tonight. We thank you for turning around adverse situations, those situations that were meant to take your people out. But, Father, we thank you tonight. Hey, oh, God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the turnaround. We thank you, oh God, for your glory being revealed. We thank you, oh God, for naming your name upon us. We thank you. We bless you. We honor. We glorify you. We thank you, oh God, for our speaker tonight. We're asking that you would bless him now. Father, bless him. Bless him as only you can. Bless him and strengthen, oh God, that this word may go forth. Bless, oh God, lead God and direct him on tonight. Father, you have free course. Let your word have free course on tonight. Speak to our hearts. Now we do, God, you be glorified in the midst of us. We thank you. We bless you for each and every listener. Oh God, those that are far, those that are near, we thank you. We glorify you now, oh God. We say, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And for this, Father, we thank you. We're asking you tonight, oh God, to hide us behind your precious cross. Cover us in your shed blood. We do pray. And for this, we give you thanks. We do give you praise. In thy precious name, Jesus, glory to God. In every heart on tonight, every heart on tonight, say amen, amen, amen on tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And at this time, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to ask Sister Mary Hollins, glory to God, if she will come with our scripture reading on tonight. God bless you, Sister Mary.
Giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PNN and Bibles, to the PNN Prayer Wars, and to you, all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from the 34th chapter of Psalms, the 15th through the 22nd verse. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. to the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut out the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I have read to you the 34th Psalm, the 15th through the 22nd verse. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his holy word.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Mary. God bless you on tonight. Amen. We thank God for that scripture reading on tonight and all of his promises. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. There's just a little song I want to, amen, sing. Just a little phrase. Amen. And it says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And there shall be, the Lord shall be king of all the earth, and there shall be just one Lord, and his name shall be one. Oh, the Lord shall be king of all the earth, and there shall be the Lord shall be king of all the earth. There shall be just one Lord, and his name shall be one. Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Come, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, come, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. Amen. Glory to God. We bless the Lord on tonight. We thank God on tonight, people of God, as we are now. Amen. We have come to that part. Glory to God. Oh, my God. It's time for the word of God. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And people of God, it is time for the word of God. We're so grateful tonight, as always, amen, our awesome speakers that come, amen, and break forth the word, glory to God, for us. And we just bless God on tonight, amen, Jesus, that we do have a long-standing commitment by this man of God. We thank God for him, for all that the Lord is doing in his life. We do bless him. We do thank him on tonight, people of God. We are going to Atlanta, Georgia. Listen, get your pen, get your paper. Amen, Jesus, glory to God. He's a teacher. Nuggets will be dropping, dropping, dropping. Amen. You want to catch them. Amen. Glory to God. So tonight, people of God, he's coming to us by way of Applied Word Ministries. We bless the Lord on tonight. Amen. For this man of God, people of God, I present to some, introduce to others, none other than Minister Craig Cannon. God bless you. God bless you.
Praise
you have
God.
The platform.
Praise God. Praise God. Can you hear me, sister? Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
hello?
We can hear you. God
okay,
bless you.
Me. Praise mm-hmm. God. I'm trying a little new way today with these headphones and this microphone, so hopefully this will be a little bit clearer, but praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I got wrapped up when you was just praying and just really just captured into my spirit. And, you know, something you just said here at the end that really just blessed me too, you know. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Every word. Every word. You know, people of God, it would be amazing if every time we sat down to eat physical food, we sit down to eat the word of God. We eat physical food three times a day or more. We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And some of us eat even more than that. But imagine if we ate the word like that every day, even if it's just a nugget, you know,
mm-hmm.
just a small thing like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. The Lord had spoke to my heart many years ago, and he said, you know, if you thought about every time you eat, if you think about eating my word, can you imagine how much farther you would be in life? How much farther you would be in life? You know, I remember years ago seeing a Bible that was worn down. It was literally torn up. Pages was coming out of it. And I saw this little inscription on it that says, if your Bible is falling apart, that means your life is staying together. And you think about that. Because if you see that Bible falling apart, that means you've been using it. It means you've been digging into the word. You've been meditating. You've been spending time with God. And you're just turning those pages, flipping through those pages in and out, up and down every day, trying to find answers to questions, trying to meditate, trying to get in his presence to learn your purpose and experience his power. That's exactly what prayer does. Prayer releases his presence, purpose, and his power. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer is something we all should do every day. That's why this ministry was founded, the Prayer News Network. We need to have the news about prayer. We need to understand the importance of praying, the importance of communicating with God day in and day out. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for another opportunity to come before you and minister to these, your sheep. I thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted, and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. Lord, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and you will think through my mind. Let it be none of me and all of you. Empty me of me and fill me with you. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone that hears your word, Lord God, will let it digest on the inside of their heart and will receive it and allow it to take birth on their good ground and take root, Lord God, that it may manifest itself in their lives and in everything they do. Whatever situation or circumstance that they're in, faith is about to come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Father, we thank you and praise you for every individual on this phone line right now. You know who they are. You know where they are. You know everything about their life, every situation, and every circumstance. Because you are God. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. And you are all-wise. Heavenly Father, whatever situation or circumstance they're in right now, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their life. Father, deliver them, protect them, provide for them, bring them that peace that surpasses all understanding, that they may know that it's you and you alone that has done it. And Father, I thank you for the obedience, the gathering, to listen and hear your word. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength, O Lord, and you are my redeemer. And I give you all glory, all praise, and all honor. Holy Spirit, have your way on this line. Have your way. Move in and out every household, up and down every row. Touch, set free, and deliver. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God, people of God. Here we are again on another Friday to get into the Word. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. The Word that was there in the beginning. The Word that was with God and the Word that was God. Praise God. We've been talking about Genesis. We've started from the beginning. And you know, in the scriptures it says that, you know, God declared the end from the beginning. And the Holy Spirit told me every time I teach from this moving forward to give you guys a nugget. A nugget at first, then a way to work the word. And then we'll jump into the word. So here's my nugget for you. A nugget for you is this. Begin your day with God, and you'll know how your day will end. Begin your day with God. See, God declared the end from the beginning. So if we want to know how our day going to end up, we got to declare it from the beginning. And the way we begin is we start off with prayer. When we get out of that bed and let our feet hit that ground, the next thing after our feet hit that ground should be our knees. We should be praying. How should we pray? Father, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for giving me the breath of life, just to see another day, just to inhale your presence and exhale your power. Teach me throughout this day, guide me and protect me. Give me a sense of peace and rest that surpasses all understanding. For you know all the things that are going to happen today, the things with my family, the things at my job, the things that I go through, the situations and the circumstances that I'm going to encounter. Have your way in me and through me. Speak through me. You know what they need to hear, and you know what I need to say. Guide me, lead me, protect me, and comfort me. I dedicate this day to you, for my life is yours, and I walk in your spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. Then after you pray that prayer, get up, get ready to put on your clothes. This is something I do every day. As you're putting on your clothes, you put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to talk about the armor of God. That's over in the book of Ephesians. The armor of God. And you say, you know what? You put on that shirt. You say, I put on the helmet of salvation, Lord. Guard my mind, guard my thoughts with the word of God. If you put on your hat, put on the helmet of salvation as you put your hat on. Guard my mind, guard my thought with the word of God. Let me think on the things that are true and honest and lovely and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a nugget for you. You start to practice that. And as we teach about the armor of God, you're going to learn about the helmet of salvation. You're going to learn about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is there to guard your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues and the forces of life. See, Jesus became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. When we teach on the arm of God, we're going to go back through this nugget. I'm going to show you how to apply the word to your life every day. Take these words out of this book and put them into practice. Like the scriptures say, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you walk in self-deception when you hear this word, but you don't do it. You heard it, but you're not doing it. You're not exercising it. See? There's a lot of people who know about God, but they don't know God. And the way you get to know God, you got to experience him. And the way you can experience him is begin to practice his word, practice his presence. And this word has directions and instructions that we can follow. And that's what we're going to learn. So let's go back to Genesis 8, Genesis chapter 8. We're going to pick up where we left off, Genesis chapter 8. Of the last teaching, we were still talking about creation, and we just noticed that God had caused it to rain on the earth. He was flooding the earth because the earth had gotten very wicked, and every thought of man was evil. Every thought of man was evil. Now, remember, this is the beginning, and God declared the end from the beginning. So all this stuff you see happening in the beginning is going to also be happening at the end. Because God declared it that way. He declared the end from the beginning. So when you start seeing the world get more wicked and more evil and more murders and rapes and robberies and killings and stealings and destroying, you're going to understand that the word of God said this from the beginning, because God declared the end from the beginning. But we're not to be in fear, because we know that our redemption is near at that time, because we are the children of God. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, we're just coming out of the flood, and we're just going to keep reading and show you some things in this chapter and learn some things about what God did to doing his creation and protection. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Now, remember, we're coming out of the flood. The flood has been going now for 40 days and 40 nights. The flood has been going for 40 days and 40 nights. And just a little tickler here, I want you all to understand something about the scriptures. There are divine numbers in the scriptures, divine numbers like seven, when God created the earth and the world. And on the seventh day, he rested. There's another divine number called 40, 40 days and 40 nights. During this flood. And believe it or not, there's one more divine number in Genesis 2, and that's the number 8. The number 8 represents a new beginning. And if you look back in Genesis, you're going to see that there were exactly 8 people in the ark. That's Noah, his wife, and his sons, and his son-in-laws, and his daughters. There was a total of 8 people. The 8 represents a new beginning. Genesis 8, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Okay, let me give you an example of that, the wind passing over the earth. See, when you blow wind enough on water, it begins to dry. That's why when your house floods, they have people come in with all these fans, and they put these fans down so those fans can start blowing that water, and it begins to dry. That's exactly what was happening. When the waters are swayed, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. The rain from heaven was restrained. We talked about in the last teaching how this flood actually happened. Remember, the windows of heaven were open, but also the fountains of the deep were open. See, in order to have a flood, you got to have water coming down, and you also got to have water coming up. And I truly believe that the fountains of the deep are in those oceans out there, whether the Atlantic, the Pacific. I believe the fountains of the deep are in those oceans. You ever think about it for a second? I want you all to think about it. Just get a visual of this. In your home, you have a bathroom or your kitchen. In your kitchen or your bathroom, you have a sink. And that sink has water coming out from the top, and you put a little stopper in that sink, right, to capture all that water, right? You put that stopper in there so the water won't go down the drain. And eventually you fill that sink up. But in order to let that sink out, you open up that drain and all the water drains out. Now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine the water is not draining out, but the water is coming up. That's the fountain of the deep. So God began to open up that fountain. All that water was coming up, just like water comes up in a well. When you dig a well, you know, there are water tables underground in various areas. And when you tap into that water table, that water comes up. It's like oil coming up out of the ground. It just shoots up. It's like it's been down there pressure. Well, when God opened up the fountains of the deep, and then he also opened the window of heaven, there was nothing but water. Water came from underneath the ground, and water came from above the ground. And now you have a flood. And there's nowhere to go. There's no dry land, and that's what was happening. So the fountains also of the deep, verse 2, and the windows of heaven were stopped. So God stopped it from raining, and also the fountains also of the deep were stopped. That means he stopped that water from coming up. And the rain from heaven was restrained. He restrained the rain. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end, watch this, after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Now, in modern day, 150 days would be the equivalent of about 5 months, because there's roughly 30 to 31 days in every month. So that water, it took 5 months for that water to abate. Let's keep reading. And the ark rested in the seventh month. Now look at that. The ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. The ark rested in the seventh month. Let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. If we go by our calendar, in the seventh month, July 17th, the ark rested. And look where it rested. In the mountains of Ararat. In the mountains of Ararat. So if I wanted to look for the ark today, I would figure out what was the mountain of Ararat back then. Because, you know, certain countries have changed names in modern day. Like, for instance, you know, Persia is now modern day Iraq. So if I needed to understand that, I would go back to ancient times and see what's the mountain of Ararat. Now, many believe that the ark is in a mountain over in Turkey. It'd be interesting to understand or to do some research to see if that mountain they believe the ark is in, because they actually have visual pictures of it, but the government of Turkey, I believe, is restricting that area. I believe the ark is in one of those mountains over there. And that mountain back then could have been called Ararat, because the Bible tells you exactly where it rested at. And why would it be there? Because it rested there. If it rested there, Noah and his family couldn't move that ark after the flood. So it has to still be there today. And the waters decreased. I'm trying to give you all a visual. When you read the Bible, try to bring it into modern day, and that'll help give you also a better understanding of it. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. Now, the 10th month takes us to October. So from July to October, the water decreased continually until the 10th month. July to October, August, September, October, July 17th is when it rested. And then in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, October 1st, were the tops of the mountain seen. So now all of a sudden that water is going down. The first thing you're going to see is the tops of the mountains. Why? Because the water had to flood the whole earth. That means they had to cover the highest mountain on the earth. That's when you know it was a serious flood. Because everything underneath, if the highest mountain on the earth today, I don't know if it's Mount Everest, but that's one that's commonly known, that means that water covered all of Mount Everest. And people actually climb that mountain, and it's 15,000 feet up. So that water had to go that high to cover the highest mountain on the earth. I don't know what the highest mountain is, but just imagine that. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, Genesis 8, verse 5. In the 10th month of the first day of the month were the toppings on top of the mountain seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days. There you go. At the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Now remember, 40 days and 40 nights was the flood. So at the end of 40 days, that doesn't mean it was dry. That just means it stopped raining, and that means the fountains of the deep were closed off. The water was still there. See, the water had to assuage, which means God had to bring a wind in to blow and dry that water. It's exactly what he did. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark, which he made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So Noah, first thing, he sent out a raven. I think there's a mystery there, and I've been praying about it. The Holy Spirit, give me. He sent the raven first, and here's something that the Holy Spirit showed me. The second thing he sent is going to be pretty interesting. He sent the dove. Now, the raven he sent out, he took this bird and said, go out. And the raven went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So the raven's flying around trying to find land. Of course, he can only fly so far because he's thinking, I'm going to be tired of flying in a few minutes, and I'm probably going to fall, and I'm going to drown. So I better not fly too far out, but I'm going to fly as far as I can go and then come back because I know this is the only place I can land at. And he sent forth a dove from him. Now, I thought that was pretty interesting. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me. When I saw that word dove, I always think about, where have I seen dove before? Where have I seen dove before in the scripture? And it came to me. The Holy Spirit gave it to me. It says the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, certain things happened during those events. First thing happened was a voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Who would be that voice? God the Father. The next thing that happened was a dove came down and landed upon Jesus. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and it says, like a dove. That would represent the Holy Spirit. But we got God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, the one being baptized, and the dove, God, the Holy Spirit. All three of them in one place. That's only happened twice in the Bible. Twice. Well, you heard the voice of God. You were actually in the presence of Jesus, the living word, the walking word. And then the Holy Spirit came and landed upon him like a dove. And so now we have a dove here. Genesis 8, verse 8. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. So he's sending forth a dove. Now let's think for a second. That's like a representation of the Holy Spirit, right? Think for a second. He sends forth this dove. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. That means the waters was on the face of the whole earth. There was no place to land. No place to land. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. It's talking about the dove. And he stayed yet other 7 days. There's another divine number, 7 days. Remember 7 days during creation? So I want you all to think about when you're reading the scriptures, also make note of numbers. Numbers are very important. You know, God created, God has divine numbers. Those are important for us too. You know, God made all this. Thing was created by the word. There was nothing that wasn't made by the word. Now, the world will take certain things that God created, and it will corrupt it. They took astrology and corrupted that. Well, God said, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. They take, you have what, in here you have something called biblical numerology, which means the numbers in the Bible have a certain meaning, and they're divine numbers. Well, the world will take those and use them for something else. See, they're taking what already exists and corrupting it. Remember, God is the only creator there is. We don't create anything. We take something that already exists and we change it into something else. And sometimes we change it for something that's worse or bad. Sometimes we change it for something bad instead of something good. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent the dove out of the ark. Okay, so let's get this picture. First he sends out a raven. The raven goes to and fro. Then he sends out a dove. The dove comes back. He pulls the dove in, and then he waits 7 days. He waits 7 days. He stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove. So after 7 days, when the dove came back the first time, he sent forth the dove again. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. Isn't that interesting? An olive leaf. Of all the plants, an olive leaf was plucked off. You know, a lot of times in the scriptures, and a lot of times even today, people use olive oil to anoint something. They use olive oil to anoint something. I thought that was interesting. See, God's always giving us hints and clues in his word. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If we just pay attention and just slow down when we're reading and ask questions. I remember asking Dr. God, why did you say an olive leaf? You could have said any other plant leaf. Why an olive leaf? And then why are the two birds you chose a raven and a dove? It could have been any other bird. See, everything God does, he does it with a purpose. And when we really begin to dig into his word and understand, the Holy Spirit will begin to show us mysteries that we didn't even see. And then the word will open up and become alive, and we'll get understanding. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So no one knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. How did he know that? Because apparently in order for that dove to get a leaf off the plant, the dove had to have landed on some ground, some dry ground. So he could pluck the leaf, put it in his mouth, and then fly back. I'm sure he had to stay there and rest for a moment before he flew back, because now he's got to fly back with a leaf in his mouth. So it's like he has his mouth open so he can be breathing while he has to fly with that leaf in his mouth. See, just think about certain things. I got a picture of that in my mind as I'm speaking with you all right now. And he stayed yet other 7 days. There it is again. And he sent forth the dove. So now he's going to, after the dove come back with the olive leaf, he's going to wait another 7 days and send forth the dove. All right? This time he sent forth the dove, verse 12, which returned not again unto him anymore. The dove didn't come back. The dove did not come back. Praise God. The dove did not come back. See, I see a little height in that. The only time that the Holy Spirit came back to the earth again was when Jesus, we're in the Old Testament now, Jesus hadn't come. And it says, the Holy Spirit came down on him as a dove. I believe that dove represents the leaving of the Holy Spirit from the earth. And that the Holy Spirit wouldn't come again until Jesus was baptized by John. And that would be thousands of years later. And then after Jesus was baptized by John, and he walked on the earth in his ministry for three and a half years, and then he was crucified. Now, before he was crucified, he told his, and he came back, and he resurrected from the dead, told his disciples, y'all wait here in this upper room, and God's going to send you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. See? Holy Spirit was coming back to the earth this time as to anoint the disciples. See? And that's when he said, go and preach the gospel throughout the world, to the ends of the earth. I believe the only reason judgment is not on our earth or on this planet right now is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is restraining a lot of real, real bad stuff from happening to us and to everybody on this planet because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to lead and guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit has set up residence on the inside of each of us, those of us who are believers. those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's here on the earth, on the inside of us, waiting for us to ask him for help. See, it says that God would send, Jesus told the disciples, I will send you another comforter, and he shall lead and guide you into all truth. And he will only speak whatever he hears the Father says. He will speak what God tells him. What God tells him. And as we get through Genesis and get all the way up to the New Testament, we're going to learn that right now, God the Father is in heaven. God the Son, which is Jesus, is seated on the right hand of God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is on the earth, on the inside of us. See? Jesus is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Even right now. He's interceding. He's in the role of our, watch this, great high priest. He's in the role of a priest. See, he came as a prophet. He's now a priest, and he will return as a king. Those are the roles of Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Genesis chapter 8, let's go to verse 13 again. And it came to pass in the 601st year, so what I wrote in my Bible here when I read that, 601 B.C., 601 B.C., in the 600 of the first year, in the first month, so that's January, in the first day of the month, January 1st, look at that, New Year's Day. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. So now God has taken all that water back off the earth in 1-1-601. Like we would write January 1st, 2023. In this case, it will be January 1st, 601 B.C. And in the second month, okay, the second month, if we were using our calendar, now I'm not saying they were using our calendar. I'm trying to give you all a better sense of understanding the scriptures, trying to bring it into reality. In the second month, on the seventh day, okay, in the second month, on the seventh, the 7th and 20th day, so that means in February 27th, 601 B.C., the earth was dry. So the earth was completely dry by February. And now God speaks to Noah. And God spake to Noah, verse 15, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that may breed, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Isn't that interesting? Now God said this to Noah about the animals, the same thing he said to Adam about the humans. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now let's keep going. And Noah went forth and his son and his wife and his son's wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And look at Noah's first thing he does when he goes out of the ark. Praise God. This is why you know Noah feared God. And Noah was a man of God. Noah was a righteous man. Verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. The very first thing he did was build an altar unto the Lord. That man ain't even built a house for his family. The first thing he did was build an altar unto the Lord. Yeah, they got shelter in the boat, you know, but the land was dry. God's probably like, I'll let it rain for 40 nights and 40 days. Everything else is dead, so y'all the only ones alive. First thing Noah does is build an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast. Come on now. Now he's getting ready to honor God. He took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Burnt offerings. Took those animals, killed them, and burned them on an altar so that God could smell that aroma coming from that cooked meat, if you really want to think about it. Because let's keep reading, and you'll see what I'm saying. It's almost like you got a barbecue outside, and you smell that barbecue that you're cooking. It smells so good. You start just thinking, I can't wait to taste it. I can't wait to eat. Look at what he's doing. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took up every clean beast of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled. Oh, the Lord smelled. When we started in Genesis teaching, the one thing I remember saying to you all was, I want you all to realize every time you hear something about God, I want you to write it down. You know, we know God can multiply. God can divide. You know, God can create. God can speak because it says God said. God can see because it says God saw. So every time, I'm going to reiterate that again. Every time you see something, I want you to just get a description of God. Here's a God who can see. He can speak. He can obviously smell because it just said, and God smelled a sweet savor. Remember, we made in his image and his likeness. Now, we made in his image, and we can smell. Wouldn't it make sense that God could smell too? We made in his image and his likeness. Remember, he created us. We didn't create him. Don't get it backwards. He's the creator. We're the creature. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, the Lord said in his heart, look at that. God can speak in his heart. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imagination of man's heart is evil. He didn't say imagination was evil. He said the imagination of man's heart is evil. That means man is constantly thinking of evil stuff. That's what caused him to flood the earth to begin with. He said that man's every thought was continuously evil. And now he's telling us the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Look at that. From his youth, from his younger years, is evil. See? That's why God tells us, you know, you don't have to do nothing. You know, we think, yeah, when you do something bad, that's sin. But you don't have to do anything to sin. Just by being born, you sin. The word of God says that in sin did my mother conceive me. In iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's why we have to be born again. That's what born again is all about. See? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that sin nature came on the inside of every human that was born after that. Every human that was born after that. It just so happened, even though Noah has the sin nature in him, he was counted unto God as righteous because he feared God. He feared God. Remember, Jesus hadn't come yet. So he did not get the opportunity to accept Christ like we do. But he did fear God and he obeyed God. So by him obeying God and fear God, that's why God saved him and his family. He was the only righteous man in his generation. That's what the word of God said. Going back to verse 21, the imagination of man's heart is evil in his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Now this is something interesting. This is interesting. Here's a mystery for y'all. Right after he says that, this is an interesting statement God makes. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. While the earth remains, these things are going to continuously happen. As long as the earth is here, these things are going to continually happen. Seed time and harvest, which means every time you plant a seed, you're going to get a harvest, whether that's in the natural or the spiritual, whether that's out there planting orange seed, watermelons, or apple seeds. You're going to get a harvest from that. Or whether that's in the spiritual, whether you plant bad seeds in people's lives or good seeds in people's lives, you're going to get a harvest from that. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest time is going to continue. Cold and heat. We're going to always have cold and we're going to always have heat. Watch this. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So for years I was reading that scripture and I kept reading it one day and I was meditating on it. You know, God's got a personality with me. I'm telling you, I was reading it, meditating. I was like, while the earth remains, okay, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. And I'm telling you, I read that thing about, I don't know how many times. And one day I was meditating on it and the Holy Spirit said, summer and winter. Summer and winter. Well, and then I asked him a question. I said, well, God, what about fall and spring? We got four seasons, right? Fall, winter, spring, and summer. Well, at least when I grew up, we had four seasons. But for some reason, have y'all noticed today that we really don't have fall and spring anymore? It's almost like those seasons have merged together. Fall has become winter. You can't tell when. Even the plants are confused. You can look outside sometimes and you see the leaves are blossoming for a day, and then the next day they're gone. It's like fall was here for a day because winter came right after that. But that time used to be extended. See, eventually fall and spring will go away. But summer and winter can't go anywhere because the earth still remains. The earth still remains. Cold and heat is not going to go anywhere because the earth still remains. The earth still remains. That's what God said in one of his scriptures later on in the Bible. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold and not lukewarm. Be lukewarm, you're playing both sides. You're trying to be a little hot and a little cold. You're straddling the fence. You're trying to live the way the world lives and live the way God wants you to live. God said he would spew that out of his mouth. That's like vomit to him. He'd rather you be either hot or cold. Either be with God or don't be with God. Either be for God or be against God. It's your choice. God will respect that. You know, somebody said to him one day, oh my God, did you just say that? Praise God. But God will respect your decision to go to hell. What? Wait a minute. What are you saying? Yeah, because it's your choice. You make the decision to either accept Jesus or reject Jesus. And I'm here to tell you the only place to make the decision is while you're alive on the earth. Because after you die, the decision has been made. And to not accept him, by default, you have rejected him. That's what the scriptures say. It's just not me. That's why it's so important when you hear the word and faith comes that you call on the name of Jesus. You hear the word, faith comes by hearing. And we talked about the process. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Now then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The process, God sends a person to preach the word, teach the word. You hear the word, faith comes. You call upon the name of Jesus, and then you get saved. But it's your decision. God's not going to decide for you. We all have a choice, and we're all going to stand before God alone one day at the judgment. So while the earth remains, we're going to always have seed time and harvest time. You know, they're doing all these different types of things with seeds now. You know, they're changing it up. I'm going to tell you something about me. I love watermelon. That's one of my favorite fruits. Why? Because it's rich in water. I like the taste of it. It feels refreshing when I eat it. That's just something I grew up on. But I find it very hard to find watermelons that have seeds in it anymore. You go to the store, you see a seedless watermelon. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, a seedless watermelon? That goes directly against the word of God. That every fruit should have a seed in itself. So what are you doing to try to lessen the seeds in this fruit? I'm not sure I want to eat that. And even in the seedless watermelon, there are seeds. They're real tiny little seeds. So you can't stop what God has created, but you're slowing that process down and you're doing something. Man is changing a whole lot of stuff to make his own creation, but you can't mess with that. because that's nature. You can call it seeds as watermelon. I can cut it open and show you some seeds in it. I may not show you as many seeds as I would in a natural watermelon. But see, I know that something's wrong with that fruit, because if you have went in and modified it genetically so that it won't produce as many seeds, I'm not sure that's something I need to be eating and putting in my body. But if you think about it, if you keep making these seedless watermelons, we are not going to have any seeds to plant to grow watermelons. And God said right here, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest time. Just giving you all something to think about. It's going to be cold and heat. It's going to be summer and winter. I guess fall and spring vanish somewhere along the way. And we see that today. And then that's going to be day and night. It's always going to be day and night, as long as the earth remains. As long as the earth remains. That's the condition, as long as the earth remains. Now, if the earth don't remain, we won't have none of this stuff, because God just said it in his word. And God blessed Noah, let's keep going, and his sons, and said unto them, watch what he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and do it again. Fill it up again. Replenish the earth. That tells you right there that at one point it was full, but now we got to fill it up again because something happened to the time it was full. And what happened? The flood came and killed off everybody except Noah and his family. That's why he said replenish. You can say redo, to do again. That's why he said replenish. So even so, remember, God don't just place a word. He didn't inspire these men to write these scriptures without every word having a purpose. Every single word. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Oh, look at that. The fear of you and the dread of you. That means the animals are going to fear us. See, we are of a hierarchy. We are above those animals in sense of how God created us. We're slightly lower than the angels, but we are above the animals. So the animals are going to fear us. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. All these animals, all these fish, all these birds are delivered into our hands because the fear of us, they have the fear of us. That's why God has given us wisdom. We can kill them and eat them or whatever. To this day, the fear of us is built into them. God designed them that way, to have the dread and the fear of mankind. Mankind. Remember, man doesn't mean male. We talked about this. Man is the species. Male and the female are the sex of that species. So don't get it mixed up. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And what he's talking about is eating other people, cannibalism. You shouldn't eat that. Flesh with the life thereof. Flesh with the life thereof. Flesh with the life thereof. Let's go back to creation. When God created Adam, it says he breathed in him what? The breath of life. And it says man became a living soul. That's the flesh with the life thereof. The breath of life. And man became a living soul. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye eat not eat. Y'all heard the term, there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. That's why the blood is so important. That's why Jesus had to shed blood on the cross for us. There's life in the blood. That's why the blood of Abel cried out from the ground when Cain killed him. Because that life is in the blood. See how it's all tied together? And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Now, I'm still meditating on that because I still got to get an understanding. I kind of think I know what he's saying, but I got to get a little bit more understanding. So I've been praying about that. and surely your blood of your lives will I require. Will I require. God says he's going to require your blood of your lives at the hand of every beast. Will I require it? And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Now let's look at verse 6. That might bring some clarity to this. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Look at that. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood going to be shed by man also. For in the image of God made he man. There it is. God made us in his image. God made us in his image. Made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. There it is again. That's three times God has told us to be fruitful and multiply. See, we're supposed to be being fruitful and multiply in the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. And that's just not reproduction. That's a part of it, but we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. Now we're going to get to the covenant. Very important to understand the covenant. This covenant, a promise, an agreement, a vow. God is saying, I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. That means I'm going to establish it with you, Noah, and with all the generations that come after you, your seed that comes after you. And with every living creature, he's establishing his covenant also. See that word and? And connects one side to the other. If you think about and, it's like a plus sign. Like if you say 3 plus 5 is equal to 8, you could also say 3 and 5 equals 8. So it's connecting one side to the other. And I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. There it is again. He keeps saying, I'll establish my covenant with you. Get that in your spirit. I'll establish my covenant with you. We have a covenant with God. We have a covenant with God. We have a covenant with God. God says, and I'll establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. For God is never again going to flood the earth. As he just said it, neither shall any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. There ain't going to be no flood to destroy the earth. There's not going to be another flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That means generations well into the future, all the way up to now, 2023, all the way back since the days of Noah, all the way up to now. And see, the word of God says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. That confirms him declaring the end from the beginning, because the days of Noah was in the beginning. God always confirms his word. Let the Bible speak for itself. It'll confirm itself. You don't really need anything else. It's going to tell you, because God's word is perfect. It's perfect. It's the only thing that's perfect on this earth. And it's alive. It's the only book that's alive on this earth. And God said, this is the token. And here's the token. You want to know that I established my covenant with you? Well, Lord, how do we know that? I hear you saying this, but how do we know you really established your covenant with me? Look at verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That's interesting. I set my bow in the cloud. I set my bow in the cloud. The only thing I could think of for that would be the rainbow. We rarely see rainbows, but we do see them. They're pretty colorful. But they are a bow. We call it a rainbow. It's like an arc going across the sky. What's interesting, you don't see where it begins, and you don't see where it ends. It's just an arc going across the sky. And you can chase the beginning or chase the ending, and you go all over the earth trying to find it. And by the time you think you're getting closer, it'll be vanished. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the clouds. That's where we see the rainbow at, in the clouds. See, this is how real God's word is. This is reality. God says, okay, you're reading the word. Now, okay, you want to see. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Here's the rainbow. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. I'm sure God, sometimes I wonder if God put that bow up there. Now, God don't need to be reminded. He knows everything. Well, he puts that bow up there because he's probably like, you know what? I need to just destroy those jokers again down there. They're just acting like they have lost their mind. Don't no one want to listen to me? Yeah, we got a select few over here who are doing the right thing and listening and all that. But even them, some of them are kind of wishy-washy. You know, I just don't get it. All they got to do is read my book and try to follow it. But they you know, half of them don't pray often like they should. They don't do hardly none of the things. No, I just need to go ahead and just start over again. Wipe the slate clean and let's start this thing over again. And then that bow shows up. Remember what you said. Oh, yeah. God said, I need to be reminded of the covenant I have with him. I can't destroy the earth by water no more because I said it in my word. So that rainbow is there. He put that as a remembrance. And I will remember my covenant. That's what he said right there in verse 15. I'm not making this up. It's right here in the book. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. There it is again. So we know where to look for the bow. It's in the cloud. He even said it twice. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. There it is again. The purpose of the bow is so he can remember his covenant with us and the animals and not destroy the earth by flood again. That's the purpose of the bow. That's the purpose of the bow. He said it twice. He said it in verse 15 and verse 16, back to back. It's interesting when God starts to repeat things, you really need to listen at it because he's trying to emphasize and give us his point. And God, in verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of my covenant. Same thing he said down there in verse 12. This is the token of the covenant. Here it says, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. It's almost like he's repeating himself, right? You got to get this. I'm going to say it again. You got to get this. I'm going to say it again. You got to get this. And the sons of Noah, verse 18, that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. We're going to stop right there because I want you all to just what we're doing here. See, God wants us to know the reality of his word. And we've got to take this word and bring it out into this real world and say, okay, but God, wait a minute. So, okay, so 601 BC, okay, that was January 1st, that was July. I'm looking at the numbers. Well, you waited 7 days here. You waited another 7 days. You sent the raven. You sent the dove. Wherever I heard the dove from, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. We got to do a little study more to find out why did you send that raven first. There's a purpose behind that as well. You know, it took 150 days before all this water went off the earth. So, you know, and we already know, even scientifically, I bet they could prove it. If the earth was ever flooded, the only way it would ever come back to dry ground is going to take at least 5 months, you know, because that's 150 days. The Bible says it right here. God is true. This word is true. This word is real. This ain't just some book we're reading. This stuff actually happened. If we go over there in that mountain of Turkey, we're going to find the ark, too. But I believe the Turkish government is probably keeping the ark from us because, you know, if we did find the ark, what's that going to do to other religions of the world? Oh, there's a boat up here in this mountain. Wait a minute. How did a boat get that high up in the mountain?
You know what?
That's a good question. It had to be a flood. The only thing that could take that boat up that high, we ain't even got cranes today that can take a boat up that high. 15,000 feet, that one of the highest mountains in the world. The only way it could have got up there, it had to float up there on the flood. It is interesting, God had it land in a mountain. Of all the places God had, I wonder why God had it land in a mountain. Because he knew possibly hundreds or thousands of years later, people won't believe that there was actually a flood. But then they will wonder, how in the world did this boat get in this mountain? We can't even put a boat that big in that mountain today. See, this word is true. That's why we got to dig in it. We got to get in it, and we got to read it. We got to study. We got to meditate, and we got to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, the whole truth and the full truth. The Holy Spirit is going to speak whatever he hears God say. He said, my word, they are spirit and they are life. See, this word is spirit and it is life. And this word will extend your life. We did a teaching on that. It shows you that the word of God will extend your life. You won't heal and get into this word. Start meditating this word. Start saying those scriptures out loud to yourself so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Me and my wife had a daughter, and our daughter, when she was very young, very young. First of all, she was a child of God. She came out of the womb. She was a miraculous kid because we had been trying to get pregnant, but that didn't happen. And one day in the church, we was in church listening to the word, and all of a sudden, the man of God at the pulpit said, there's some of y'all in here been trying to get pregnant. I want all of y'all to stand up. We popped up. It wasn't just us. It was many other couples around there. He said, next year this time, your wife's going to be pregnant and she's going to be having a baby. And it happened just like that. I mean, blew our mind. It happened just like that. True enough, the following year, that next time, our child was born. My wife was pregnant with our child. And we knew then, wait a minute, this word is working. And you think about it, you read about this stuff in the Bible where you see these prophets talk about, yep, a son is going to be born, you shall name him this and this and this. That stuff actually happened. So then we realized, okay, this word works. When my daughter was born and came out of my wife at the hospital, I dedicated her life back to God in the hospital. I said, Lord, you know what? I said, now, I'm her dad, but you're her father, and you could be a better father than I ever could be. So she belongs to you. I'm going to raise her. I'm going to do the best I can as a dad, but I want her to know that you are her father and you will always be her father. I'll always be your dad. You'll always be your father. And I give her life to you. So you use her however you need to glorify you. And then come to train. The word of God says, train a child up in the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. I'm giving y'all a way to what I call work the word. So you got to take the stuff out of this book and you got to work it. So then me and my wife, what we did, we said, okay, Even when she was little, we would started saying what we call confessions. We would say certain scriptures to her every single day, even driving her back and forth to school. Sometimes my wife would drive her, take her, and I would pick her up. Either way, we would always say those confessions in the car. To this day, she knows them. To this day, we know them because we said them so many times, over and over and over again. I am a child of God, born of God's Spirit, filled with God's Spirit, led by God's Spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my life, over my family's life, over my church, over my nation, over this government and this world. I thank you, Lord, that I put on the whole armor of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I put on the helmet of salvation. Guard my mind, guard my thoughts with the word of God. Let me think on the things that are true and honest and lovely and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I thank you, Lord God, that I put on the helmet of salvation. That's what we said, the breastplate of righteousness. God, our heart. For out of our heart flows the issues and forces of life. For Jesus became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Put on the belt of truth. Let your truth surround me and protect me. Because I operate in the integrity of your word, and thy word is truth. I carry the shield of faith because I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by what I see, but I'm moved by what your word says, because faith gives substance to what I hope for. It is the evidence of what I cannot see. I thank you that I carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that I rightly divide your word of truth in every situation, in every circumstance, that I recognize and realize that your word is the absolute final authority in all things. And I thank you that my feet are shod up with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere I go, I walk in peace, not in pieces. And this peace doesn't come from the world. It comes from the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Those were just some of the confessions we planted on the inside of our heart. And while we were saying that faith was coming, and we would have her repeat it back to us, she had no idea what any of them meant. She just was saying them because we told her to say them, just saying them over and over and over again. And we were just planting the word of God in her heart. Because the word of God says to train a child up in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. See, this is taking this word and applying it to your life and doing it. So I tell you, just for long story short, she went through middle school, top of a class. She went through high school, top of a class. She got to college. Soon as she got to college, she ran into this group called they're similar to Campus Crusade for Christ, but that's not what they were called. They were called something else. But Campus Crusade for Christ, I'm just going to say that for example. And as she ran into, she called me up on the phone one day. She's like, Dad, you know those scriptures that you all used to have me repeat when I was young and a child? Now I understand what they mean. Brought tears to my heart. God had taken it full circle. She sold out for Christ. She met her husband in that same group. And now they're both living for God. They're married. They live in Virginia. They're living for God. They love God. Talk about the word. They're in a good church. They good teaching church. They're active in the church. They even hold Bible studies. Train your child up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. See, the word is planted deep on the inside of her. See, now I have great comfort that when that day comes when me and my wife transition, I know she's going to be okay because the word is deeply rooted on the inside of her. She won't be moved by it. Anything. And even though she has challenges out here in the real world and you have circumstances and situations, now she knows how to handle it. Train her to talk to the Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. I don't know what to do with this. Holy Spirit, I feel like they've set me up to fail. But I know you're with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Tell me what to do. And when people are treating them wrong, pray for them. I don't know what's going on with them, Lord. God says to pray for those that despitefully use you. So we train her and taught her to operate in the Word. And that's why the only way we knew that is because we were in the Word. We never knew anything about this stuff. We were of a good church and was teaching us the Scriptures, teaching us the Word. Then it's like, okay, let me get in this book and start reading it for myself. As I was led by the Holy Spirit, I'm like, wow. The first time I read the Bible all the way through took me 2 years for a one-year Bible. 2 years for a one-year Bible. Yeah, I had a one-year Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Same Bible I'm looking at sitting here right now, Psalm and Proverbs. That's the one I read. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm and a Proverb. Every day I'd be on the train reading the Scriptures. Everybody would be looking at me like I'm crazy. And sometimes I'd be like, whoa, man, I didn't know that was in there. And, I mean, you start seeing stuff that you can't believe. I saw one time in the Scriptures where a donkey talked to a man, a horse talked to a man. Literally, talked to him, spoke to him. It's in the Word. It's in the Scriptures. I'm not making this stuff up. Blew my mind. I was like, oh, Lord, that's kind of, man, I don't ever need no animal to talk to me because I would get freaked out. But it actually happened. There's another part in the Bible where a man was holding up a man of God's hand. And the sun didn't set. The sun just didn't go down. There was this fighting going on, and the sun didn't go down. There's another area in the Bible where there was going to be this war between the people of God and this enemy. And instead of the general sending the soldiers out in front, he sent the band out in front. And they started playing music. And when they started playing music, the enemies turned on themselves and destroyed each other. I'm not making this up. It's all in this book. It's absolutely fascinating what you will find in there. You'll be like, whoa. See, that's God's wisdom. See, the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. You see what I'm saying? See, God can take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God can take the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And God can take the base things of this world, the things that are considered nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are. What does all that mean? God can take a man with a sixth grade education and make him president of this country. God can take an illiterate, homeless man and make him a CEO of one of the largest corporations in the world. God can take an uneducated man and make him whatever. You know, what I'm trying to say is the things that are considered nothing, the things that are considered foolish, God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. See, that's why a lot of people don't understand the scriptures, because they think this Bible is just a book. They don't think this stuff is real. It's foolishness to them. It's because they're more smarter than everybody. They know everything. But God will take somebody foolish and give you understanding of this word, and you'll look at him like, man, he's brilliant. No, he's not brilliant. He got the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, and he's taking the time out to spend time in the word of God, and God is giving him nuggets and wisdom and understanding of his word. God is opening up the scriptures to him so that he can open up the scriptures to others so that they too can get into his word. God is not a respecter of people. What he did for one, he'll do for the other. But you just got to dig in and get in. That's the key. And that's what I'm trying to teach you all. It's absolutely incredible what you'll find in this book. I don't even know. There's no book like it on the planet. You can throw all my other books away, but you can't. But you got. I have to keep this word. All the other books can go. Because you know what? Everything I learned in this word, I can get it all back. You can take everything I got, as long as I got this word. As long as I got this word, and most importantly, I got this word on the inside of my heart. Because there may come a time when people start burning Bibles, and they start taking your Bible away because they know how powerful it is. You got to get it on the inside of your heart. Once it's on the inside, I can't take that away because now it's a part of you. See, it's a part of you. Remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. See that? The word became flesh. Now we got to do the opposite. We got to become the word, which means we've got to get in this word. We ain't going to ever become the word because there's only one Christ, so don't get it twisted. That's not what I mean. I'm saying we've got to get this word so deep on the inside of us that we've got to operate in it. We've got to walk it out. We've got to walk the talk, not the other way around. We've got to walk the talk. See, when we begin to walk it out, God can then work it out. Hear that? That's a word from God there. When we begin to walk it out, God can work it out. Some of y'all are in situations and circumstances right now that seem absolutely impossible. But I'm here to tell you, is anything too hard for God? It was absolutely impossible for a virgin to get pregnant. It was absolutely impossible for an 80-year-old woman to have a baby. Is anything too hard for God? How can it be hard for him when he created everything? Everything. There was nothing that wasn't made by the word. So, praise God. I'm going to end right there. I just wanted to share that with you because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Some of y'all needed to hear that. Because, see, when you hear that, then you'll know where I'm coming from. You'll understand how I got. You might think this is that and this is that. I'm not a brilliant person. I just trust God's word. I just get in his word. And I'm not a perfect person. I make mistakes like all of you all make mistakes. But I do know that I've been forgiven, and I do know the blood of Jesus was shed for me. And I do know I am saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God. And I do know that God loves me, and I love him. So that's why I try to obey his word and keep his word. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Like, okay, Lord, if I'm not keeping your commandments, does that mean I don't love you? No. What do you think? I hear you, Lord, loud and clear. Say no more. I understand. Help me to become better at everything that I do with you. I mean, to obey you at all times. So That's the reality of the word. That's the stuff that you normally don't get. People don't tell you that. But I'm here to tell you this word works when you work it. It's not like I'm trying to earn myself into heaven. I can't earn my way into righteousness. There's nothing I can do, watch this, to make myself righteous. I became righteous through the blood of Jesus. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Well, praise God. I'm grateful for this day. For all of those of you who are not saved, who haven't given your life to Christ yet, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity right now to say, you know what? I get it. You know, he made sense. I've never had nobody talk to me like this way before and just tell me this stuff. And, you know, it kind of makes sense to me now. Now I'm seeing the scriptures through a whole different light. I want some of that. I want to know God. I want to know the purpose and the plan he has for my life. I want to know what to do next. Maybe you're in a situation and you're scared. You don't know what a way out. God has a way out. God always has a way out. God already, and probably God has already shown you the way out. Now, whether you chose it or not, that's on you. God always shows us a way out. But if you're not saved, God wants your life. He ain't worried about the situation and circumstance. He can protect you. He can guide you. He can comfort you. He can bring your enemies to desolate. That's what Sister Mary read about in Psalms earlier. See, God knows who your enemies are. But when you become a child of the Most High, when you become a child of God, when his spirit gets on the inside of you, when you've been quickened and made alive, when you've been born again, now you belong to him. And there's nothing, no one, and watch this, no thing. You separate that nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G. No thing can separate you from the love of God. And he's ready and waiting for you to give your life to Christ. So for those of you who are not born again, I want you to bow your heads right now. I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, save me. I want to get saved, Lord. I heard your word. It has brought faith. I believe you are real. I want to know and understand your purpose for my life. I confess with my mouth right now that Jesus is Lord. And I believe deep down in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me this day. Help me to be better. Teach me to get to know you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know your ways. I want to know your thoughts. I know you love me and your son Jesus died on the cross for me, and I accept him this day. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to hear this message, allowing me to be on this phone call, and allowing me to understand who you are. I thank you for your protection. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Your life will never be the same again. The first and foremost thing I would suggest you do is get a Bible. Get a Bible. And if you can find a good church near you that's teaching the word, go to that church. Carry your Bible to that church. When you go in that church, have your Bible with you. When that man or woman of God on that pulpit begin to talk about the word, open your Bible up and look at those scriptures that they're saying. When you leave that church and you go back home, open that Bible up and start reading it. Spend some daily time with God. If you don't have a lot of time, spend 5 minutes, then increase it to 10 minutes, then 15 minutes. We all have some time that we can spend with God, so we're really without excuse. It only takes one word from God to change your whole life. You can read 1 to 2 scriptures a day, and the more you read it, the Holy Spirit, and before you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Before I ever read the scriptures, I say, teach me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. That's my little quick prayer. In other words, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this stuff, but you know it. So you're going to have to teach me. And then as you begin the reading, sometimes those words will jump off the book. You won't hear a voice on the inside or nothing like that. Not that God can speak to your heart. He can do that. But I think a lot of times he don't do that because it probably would scare most of us. Like, who said that? We don't see nobody in the room. No, you would just get an unction or an intuition on the inside when you're reading something. You know how you read something and you start saying, I wonder what that means. All of a sudden, it'll become clear to you and you start getting understanding. And then when you come to the PNN Network on Friday nights or Saturdays or Sundays or Monday, any day of the week, and you hear whoever's speaking during that time, if they're talking about the word, that's going to be, God's going to confirm to you what you read. See, that's how it works. God will confirm. See, church is supposed to be almost a confirmation, not necessarily a revelation. You get the revelation with your personal time with God, but God's going to confirm what he's revealed to you in your personal time through that man or woman of God who's teaching or preaching the word. See? That's why a lot of times I go in church, I'll be like, you know, God just showed me that. That's not by accident. God knows everything about everybody at all times. That's why he's God. He's the only one who can know that. He knows every situation and every circumstance. He knows what it costs to get you in that situation, and he knows what it's going to take to get you out of that situation. God knows the cure to cancer, the cure to AIDS, the cure to leukemia, the cure to every sickness and disease right now. And sometimes those cures are what we think. And you'll see that in the scripture. He told one man who had leprosy, he told him to go down there and dip in this dirty river 7 times. And when he come up, he'll be healed. The man couldn't do it because he didn't heal him the way he wanted to be healed. He wanted him to come to his house and lay hands on him. And Jesus was like, no, I'm not going to do that. You're going to go down to that river, and you're going to dip in it 7 times, and then you're going to be healed. Now, the man probably looked at that river and said, I'm not going to dip in that dirty water. What? You got leprosy. Why wouldn't you dip in that dirty water? If Jesus had told you this is going to heal you, go do what he say. But see, even then, they didn't want to obey because it didn't make sense. I'm here to tell you, God ain't going to ever make sense to you. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. If you want a little hint, if you do just about the opposite of what you're thinking, then you're going to be in what you think you should do. Then you're right about in line with what God wants you to do. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to end. I've talked enough. I pray that God has blessed you, and he will keep you throughout this week. I give you praise and honor and glory, Lord. Thank you for this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What a teaching. What a teaching on tonight. People of God, did not our hearts burn tonight? Did not our hearts burn tonight as the scriptures were unfolded? And I tell you, I was blessed. It was beautiful. And I do give God thanks and praise. We give God thanks and praise for you,
yes,
Minister Cannon. I tell you, so I know you gave us a nugget before the word, but listen, so many other nuggets came out of the word. Amen.
Praise
glory
God.
To God.
Praise
so
God.
Many other nuggets and just the application thereof and just the enticement to get into the word, and I tell you, so much you said, and I was even thinking about how you said, you know, wouldn't it be something if every time we got ready to eat a meal, if we got, you know, took the Bible, and as we were eating right along the time, paralleling with our mm-hmm. meal, a natural meal, and eating, oh, man, that would be so powerful.
Yes.
That would be so
yes.
powerful. There were so many things that you said that really made us think. And I'm mm-hmm. grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord for
Thanks
it.
God.
And I know that all of our listeners are, again, just compelling us to get into the word even the more. Even as you said, just practical, just work the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just
exactly.
grateful. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord and people of God. I tell you, we could go on and on and on, but there's no need, amen, because you've laid it out so plainly, so beautifully for us on tonight that we can all go and take this word and look into the word again. We're grateful.
Yes.
And people of God, we want to let you know that you can certainly get a copy of the broadcast. We'll send it to you. Beautiful teaching on tonight. Send this word to somebody. Send this word to somebody so that they can be blessed. Amen. And listen, people
Amen.
Of God, all you have to do is text us on tonight, 912-257-3918. Again, 912-257-3918. Also, you can text us at 678-608-7234, 678-608-7234. Our international listeners, you can certainly text us as well. And we just want to say to our international listeners, we have been getting we have been receiving your messages. And those of you that would like to be a part of this PNN, thank you, thank you, thank you. We will be reaching back out to you. We just thank you for listening. Whatever country you're listening from, we thank you for listening. And we certainly want you to be a part, and just know that we'll be getting back with you either via WhatsApp or getting back with you via Messenger. But we want you to be a part. We're expanding. We're growing. God is doing it by his Spirit. And we thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much. So, and anybody that would like to, amen, be a part of this outreach ministry, listen, we welcome it. We welcome you to come. We welcome you to be a part. And again, we thank you for listening. Minister Craig, we thank God for you on tonight again. Thank you for availing yourself. This beautiful teaching. It has been so beautiful. Amen. We appreciate how you just take your time and you go through the scriptures and you peel them open and you just, amen, cause
yes.
us to look at, and like you said, cause us to see it. And we're so grateful for that on tonight. And we just want to thank God for you. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God strengthen you. May he continue to open the eyes of your understanding. May he continue to reveal himself to you in a mighty way, in the precious name of Jesus. Even as, Father, he's brought forth this word on tonight, continue to elevate him in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, we do pray.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus, Father, in every gift that you place within him, we thank you on tonight.
Jesus.
We thank you for activation. We're thanking you on tonight.
Yes.
Glory to God. We're thanking you for elevation. We're thanking you on tonight.
Jesus.
Glory to God for using your
thank
servant
you,
to bring forth this word and the word on this Prayer News Network and every platform that you have for him. We thank you on tonight for opening doors. Thank you on tonight
thank
for guiding
you,
his footstep. We thank you tonight.
Thank you.
Glory to God. We're asking that you will cover him now. We're asking that you will cover him. We're asking that you
thank
will
you,
shield
Jesus.
Him. We do bind the hand of the enemy. We declare and we decree as sons of God, there should
thank
be
you,
no
Jesus.
Backlash. There shall be no retaliation. Father, we forbid it now as sons of God, and we give you thanks,
yes,
and
Lord
we
Jesus.
Give you praise. We give you honor.
Praise
we
you,
give
Jesus.
You glory. We're asking, oh God, that you will restore unto him the virtue, oh God, the
thank
virtue
you,
that he's released unto your people, the anointing
thank
that
you,
has come forth with this word.
Thank
Father,
you,
restore unto him the virtue, we pray, in the precious
thank
name
you,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you now. We thank you for this gift to the body of Christ. We thank you. Oh God, we
thank
bless
you,
you now. Thank you for your precious anointing.
Thank you,
Father, we're asking that you will cover him, shield him, protect him, his family on tonight.
You,
cover
Jesus.
And shield him, oh God. Everything that concerns him, cover and shield
thank
him,
you,
we
Jesus.
Do pray. And we thank you.
Oh, God, we glorify you. We magnify you for these things. We thank you, oh, God, for those things that our eyes have not seen, which shall yet be revealed in his life. We thank you. Glory to God. We thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you. Oh, glory. We thank you. We thank you, oh, God, for open doors. We're thanking you, God, for new platforms. We're thanking you, oh, God, for new ways. We're thanking you, oh, God, for creativity. We're thanking you. Glory, glory, glory. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you, oh, God. Hey, Shabbat. God, continue to have your way in his life. God, continue to have your way. We're thanking you. Thank you. Glory to God. Father, we thank you now. We're thanking you. We're thanking you for your glory, being a shield, for being a cloak, oh, God, over your servant now. We thank you. We bless you, oh, God, in thy precious name, Jesus. Glory to God in every heart on tonight. Say amen. Glory be to God, and so it is. Hallelujah. We bless him.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We bless him again. We thank him again on tonight. Glory to God. We thank God for you, sir. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
All said, all done.
Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to turn it back over to you for final remarks and for the blessing of the line to the people. Again, people of God, we want you to come on back. Amen. Come on back tomorrow night. Come on back. Glory to God and be blessed. Even the more. Amen, Jesus. Even the more. Amen. Yes. So we give God thanks again. We praise him for you, man of God. God bless you. We're going to release the platform to you. Amen. You know, when you get happy and the word feels good. Amen. It stirs you up. Amen. You can go on and on and on. But we're going to pull it on back in, and we're going to release the platform to you. God bless you. We love you, and we thank God for you, your commitment, your dedication to come and bless the people here on the PNN. You have the platform in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. People of God, you know, I'm going to say this last thing. You know, the world wants you to place your trust in your circumstances and your success and your talents and also in the opinions of others. But, you know, God asks you to put your full trust in him. God wants us to believe, and he wants us to apply what he promised us in his word. He wants us to do that more than anything else so that we can have peace and we can have joy and we can have fulfillment in our life. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that every person who heard this message tonight will be blessed. I pray that they will go forth and never be the same again. Father, may you bring it back to your remembrance, things that were mentioned tonight throughout their days and throughout this week and throughout the rest of their life. Remind them of your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your love, your unconditional love toward them. Remind them that you love them regardless, because that's what you are. You are a loving God. You are love. God is love. And Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every person, regardless of where they are, whatever country they're in, wherever they're located at, that your presence is near. Make your way known and make your way shown to them. Give them instructions and directions on how to live their life. And let the words of their mouth and the meditations of their heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, show them that you and you alone are their strength and their redeemer. And may the peace of God rule and reign on each and every one. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And people of God, go forth now and be blessed by the living God and his Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. I praise for you, right? Give all praise and glory to you, Lord God, right now. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, God bless you, people of God. We look to see you on tomorrow night. And again, if you would like to have a copy, we've already received, we're already receiving requests. Please, ma'am, please, sir, get it. Listen to it again. And don't forget to bless someone else. God bless you. And we'll see you, hear you on tomorrow night.
God bless you. Goodbye.
God bless.
Goodbye.